So our passage today, and you'll see it on your handout, I've got to figure out why on this it does not always stay in the printed area, so I apologize for that. But I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to walk ourselves through it in a way that I hope will be deeply meaningful to you. It says, "I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one." And so I think, you know, it's kind of like here is a very interesting drop in into our text in 1 John. And it is like all of a sudden he is singling out some folks that he says, "I want to make sure that you know what I'm doing here." And so I asked the question, and it's pretty obvious, and especially, you know, you'll see, you know, who is Paul writing to here? And just the idea, if he says, you know, if we just walk back through it, he's writing to little children, fathers, and he's two comments with that, young men, additionally, two comments with that, children. And then I asked the question, is it possible that he's writing to me and you as well in this? Okay. And so the idea here is that we want to take a look at what is it that he's trying to communicate and why is it that he has selected these? Now, commentaries will tell you they don't know for sure. Is he writing to literally little children, or is he writing to children who are young in the faith? And it's not really clear in that regard. And so what I think that it does say, and this is what the commentaries would say, is regardless of whether it is chronological or in the spiritual age, he is writing to people who are in the faith, okay? And so we see here that his general purpose for us is this. He wants to remind each group of something he believes is so important to them at their age and stage in life, okay? And so, you know, we just, I think it was the Abbotts that have taken their care of their grandkids, okay, you know. My wife is not here today because we took care of two grandkids last night and they did not sleep well at all. And so she is home trying to recover from that, and she was kind enough to allow me to get a better night's sleep than she got. But, you know, at that age and stage in life, when you listen to the prayer requests in here, they are different than the young adults' prayer requests. Okay, I will tell you, they're not the same as the good news class, though, which is the next generation up. But all I want us to be able to say is that what I want us to hear loud and clear today is, let's look at this from an age and stage and see what it is that's so important about it. Okay, so again, just to take exactly what the scripture says, that says, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So there's something that he says, this is so important. I want to make sure you know and understand this. Then he says, fathers, and he tells them this twice, because you know him who is from the beginning. Thirdly, with the young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then with children, because you know the fathers. And then this one, look at the detail that he goes into this. Young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Now, you know, honestly, and I say this with some humor, that, you know, there's a part of us that if we had a, you know, a do-over at times, that we as parents, perhaps we as grandparents, we as, you know, other relationships that we have, we would go and say, ooh, I wished I could go back and say something a little bit different in that situation. You know, I was thinking about the McWhorters over here, and they probably would have said to their son, you cannot go TT on the baseball field when everybody else is out here. You remember that experience? Okay. You know, but honestly, I don't think that's the most important thing that the McWhorters would want to add or that any of us in here would go back and address, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's saying something that sounds just kind of like, yeah, right, we know. But that's why I'm asking us, each and every one of us today, to go, what is it that John wanted to make sure that these at their age and stage in life heard and why it would be so important? And so we start out here with the little children. And he says, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Now, what a great reminder for all, as I say here, but think about how important it is for a little child in the faith to grasp hold of and believe this. I've written down these on your handout, but I really would ask you all just to think about if a child, whether it's young in the faith or whether it's the child who's literally younger and still young in the faith, they would live, if they understood this, with no sense of condemnation. How awesome would that be, that a child would launch into their life with the understanding of no condemnation? Not because they're guilt-free, but because of what, as he says here, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. The security and comfort that would come from that, that all of a sudden they are not having to look to every other thing that's out there to try to find any sense of meaning in life, any, you know, form of, as I say here, security or comfort, but they know that already. And then, as I say here, a healthy identity. Now, I, you know, would say, and there's plenty of you all that know me well enough in here. You know, I was telling Bill McClung over there that, you know, Jill and I lived within a block of each other. It just happened to be, I was on one side of Highland Park Pres, and she was on the other side, but very close in proximity. You know, I spent a lot of time at Boo Smith's house and David and Carrie's house and, you know, and all these kind of things. But still, it grieves me that my identity was so up for grabs, that everything, you know, was determined how I saw myself and how I viewed myself and the things that I did. And I'm like, wow. And I knew this principle, but I wished I had known it to the depths that it's there. And then to go on, it says, a forgiving heart. If we really understand that our sins are forgiven, how could we not then forgive others? If we understand the depths of that. And then again, just that concept of, whew, my sins are forgiven. There's relief, there's gratitude, and then hopefully a spirit of worship. Not worship, because Pat, you live across the street from the church, go to church, you know. But worship, because I have to be there. I have to be there. Because my heart is calling me out for that. Not I have to be there to check off a box. Now let's look at fathers. Because you know him who is from the beginning. Well, that sounds so vague and so general unless we really sit in that and we think about it. You know, why is that important for us to grasp hold of that? Think of how a father would live his life and how he would be as a husband and as a parent. I know this, that I, you know, can say there's been struggles for me with this, a deep spirit of rest, soul rest. It's like, yes, oh, how I long for that. And again, those of you that have the wonderful privilege of being grandparents, you know, it's kind of like, how in the world did we do that? You know, there's a sadness to say, what time are they picking them up? And there's also a relief, you know. because it's kind of like one night, and we're done. But now we see, okay, there's a deep rest, not anxious about tomorrow or provision. Now, men, I'm speaking to you in here about what it is that can strike us that says, hey, you better get your act together tomorrow, you know, and the whole concept of provision. But able to be present and engaged with those around the Father, around Him, as men, we can be so pitiful at that, because we find so many other things that we want to have our minds on, that we fail to be present and engaged in ways that are deeply meaningful and life-giving to those around us. A deep sense of joy, and then, as I say here, a beautiful spirit of worship. If we know that you know Him who is from the beginning, it's the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe. And we rest in that. And I don't know how much you all are moved by creation. I will say that I'm really grateful that creation can really touch me in a deep way and move me to worship. Why? Because I am reminded again of His greatness. But keep in mind that as a child, I would have known too that my sins are forgiven for His name's sake. So now we put some two very incredible principles together about how deeply they can and should and hopefully will touch us. Then we go to young men. Young men, because you've overcome the evil one. And think of how that young man would live his life if he really understood that he's overcome the evil one. Not in his human flesh, not in his own power, but because his sins are forgiven for His name's sake. And we realize, yes, if that was true, the freedom that would come from that, think about that. The confidence. Not confidence in what I've done or who I am, but confidence in Him. And then I had to put this word down, and I was like, does this word really fit in here? Fearless? What do y'all think of when you hear the word fearless?
Warrior.
David, okay. Yeah.
Gladiator.
What else?
Gladiator.
A gladiator, okay.
Courageous,
thank you.
A risk taker,
yeah, thank you, okay. And, you know, someone who is, you know, you all made it sound really bold and all those kind of things, but what if fearless was, I can walk into Park City's Presbyterian Church on a Sunday morning and feel okay.
A protector,
thank you, yeah. You know, and so we have this idea then that, you know, fearless has so many different ways that we can look at it, from a gladiator and a warrior to a protector to just, you know, not letting the struggles of the world around us control us or anything, be at peace. And then as I wrote here again, the same three words, relieved, grateful, and worshipful.
Someone who is willing to share the gospel without fear of rejection.
Oh, thank you, Harry. Harry said, someone who's willing to share the gospel without the fear of rejection. Okay, thank you, brother. Yeah. Okay, so we continue on and we look at children. And I have to admit that in my preparation, this is the one that I enjoyed really just meditating on the most. Look at that. Children, because you know the Father. Now think of how that child would live their life, knowing they are deeply loved. Mike, you used in your prayer the word Abba several times. They would cry out, Abba, They would be excited about tomorrow. And then I wrote this one down. Healthily competitive. Are y'all comfortable with that one? You are? Okay. What's the danger of this one?
Rely on yourself.
Rely on yourself. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's all...
I think it's... As a performer, I, from an early age, just knew that God created each one of us.
Okay.
And there was a time that I performed with Jerome Hines. I was the dancer in the opera. He was the...
Okay.
Mephistopheles. But... And we had a time to talk about the Lord backstage, but you approach because of who God made you.
Yes.
And it's really where God's placed you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yes, I really appreciate that. You know, just to, how God made you. And the beautiful part about when you put the word healthily competitive means I can come in second place. I could even come in last place as long as I know I really... worked at it, tried, you know, was competitive about it. It's not a matter of I have to win. And if I lose, there goes life. Okay? And so we can also say, yes, how sweet would that be? And then if they know that, they're quick to say, thank you. Now, again, I debated on this one because I thought, okay, are those the right two words or the right two words, I'm sorry? But if I ask you this, children, because you know the Father, you can be quick to say thank you. Why would that, what is the marriage there? What's the connecting point to that? I'm going to start calling on names.
Gratitude.
All things come from Him.
Security.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know.
Every event is a gift.
The gift?
Every event.
Every event is a gift. Okay. Yes. You know, and children, because you know the Father, all right, and think about this. If they knew the Father. Now, right now I'm talking about their Heavenly Father. What are some characteristics and qualities that they would know about that Father?
Love.
Love, for sure.
Acceptance.
They won't be abandoned.
They won't be abandoned.
Mercy.
Faithfulness. Faithfulness. What was that at the back?
Belonging.
Reverence. Do y'all realize how significant these words are that we're just throwing out there, and that we take the compilation of them and it's like, wow. Wow. And then the question comes for us, you know, little children, your sins have been forgiven for His name's sake. And then children, because you know the Father, and your sins have been forgiven for His name's sake, but also your sins have been forgiven on an incredible act of love that your Father demonstrated towards you. And we're left to just be really overwhelmed with the thought of, wow, that child knowing the Father. Well, as a dad, this one was pretty convicting to me, because I would say, gosh, these are things that I would want my children to know, because they know me and because I'm pointing them to the Father. And so we've got these double kind of things going on at times where it's like, wow, Lord, you know, how can I demonstrate these very things? What needs to be true in my heart and life so that my children knowing their earthly Father, but my children knowing their Heavenly Father? And that's why, you know, I don't know how you all feel, and I know that at 9:30 you don't go to the 9:30 worship service, you know, but there's all sorts of kids in there now because of the way they've done it, and it's kind of like, it's beautiful. And we want the young children up, you know, to be able to have a profound worship experience in the church, and that in that perhaps it might be one little small step forward to know the Father. And then things that we get to do. Now, just this morning, I lost count. But I bet with the two little boys that were our house, I did 1,000 high fives. And every time I had to hit my head and then go, okay, hit it. They'd hit me again. You know. Something so silly. But even in something like that, what are we trying to communicate to a little child? Help me with this, please.
You love them.
Acceptance, love them.
The Father's approachable.
Approachable. That's the exact word that I had in my heart. Doesn't make anybody else's answer wrong. Just makes Tom really right, okay? And what is it about approachability? Wow.
Relationship.
You get on their level.
Acceptance. Yeah. Safety. Yeah.
Well, you can come when you're defeated and when you're wrong.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Come when you've been defeated, you're wrong. That's approachability. Okay. And then I've got to turn it right back around on us. Do you all see that in your relationship with your Heavenly Father? That level of approachability. Then how could we not be quick to say thank you? Not thank you, but this deeply heartfelt thank you that wells up within us. Can't remember, Bill, if you said gratitude, you know, yes. And then, honestly, I have to come to us. We think about these things because our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. Because we know Him who is from the beginning. Because we have overcome the evil one. And lastly, as there it says, because we know the Father. Now, again, you know, we were talking about, Harry, you were mentioning, you know, doing evangelism and not fearing rejection. And, you know, there's the evangelistic tool out there. I have no idea if it's still used and how effective it is these days, but the four spiritual laws. And I would just wonder for us today if we thought of these four basic points and how important they are for us as believers in Christ. They sound so, I'm struggling with the right word, but I want to say general, basic,
simple,
that we could miss them. And I think that's why, as I stated earlier, that's like when Jay told me and then I read the verses, I'm like, where in the heck do you go with this?
What's the answer?
Hopefully you'll tell me in a few minutes, okay? But it becomes so important for us to realize that there is something about these four points that are hugely important for us to grasp hold of and make sure that we understand them and what it was that John was trying to communicate to this people. And what we realize is that, wow, he's talking to them in a way that shares intimacy with them. Little children. You know, children, young men, fathers, and trying to be able to talk to the people here in such a way that he's not standing above them and, you know, being harsh, but he is talking to them in that familial term. And that's what I hope that we continue to grasp hold of with this is, what does that mean? But then as I ask the question here, where does that take you at your current age and stage in life? And so, see here it says, well, for us, the ability to truly give thanks and worship. If we take those 4 points and we've really been able to embrace them and embody them in such a way to trust the Father with tomorrow. And all I had to do was just keep putting myself into this and go, I think that if I just simply talk about what I can find is what I have to struggle with, I can stand before Believers Fellowship as an adequate representative for you. I hope you're okay with that. Because to trust the Father with tomorrow, with health issues, frozen pipes, provision, and all the things that are simply out of control. Now, where does that general statement take you? Like, we're totally out of control. I come back to this to experience a deep sense of rest and rest in your soul. Yeah. And where do we find rest typically? Yeah. Well, vacations, naps, a lot of other things. But the question for us comes, is that really a soul rest for us that we want to cling to? And then to finish strong in whatever role that might be. And so I realize that it doesn't show up there as well as I would like it to, but look on your handout. To finish strong in whatever role that might be. And I tried to incorporate everybody in this. As an adult child, how many of you in here today are still an adult child? Okay. Yeah.
My wife says I am.
Okay. Yeah. But you know, I'm asking that question. How many of you still have a parent that's still living? You know, as an adult child, as a husband, or a wife, as a father or a mother, as a grandfather, a grandmother. And I debated whether to put this on the paper or not, but I just stand here tonight or today and want to just say, as a widow or a widower, as a divorcee, how about this, as a church member, as a Sunday morning community member, as a neighbor, as a volunteer, and then as an employer, employee, a retiree. Jay, how's your employer these days?
Miserable.
Your employer? So, when we think about these things, these are all places where we are living and where I ask, how can these kind of things, these 4 points, impact us in these stages that we're looking at? Because I really believe that while John was intending to talk to, that scripture was intended to speak to a little child, to a young man, to a father, to children in general, the reality comes that we need all 4 of those. And hopefully that as a young boy, I got some of that. And then as a child, I got some of that. As a young man, more of that. And as an adult, more of that. And I'm living in the fullness of that. Now, can it, let's say, but that doesn't have to be chronological. That it can be for you in your life whenever that journey with Christ began. But here we are today, as a lot of boomers in here, and we're like, okay, how does this apply to us in the fullness as we take those things together? And so what I wanted to do for you here today is give you a little gentle reminder. Now, you all have heard me say before that I believe that I am not a teacher, I am a reminder. So to come to this point is really important to me, okay? But here's our gentle reminder. Let's first look at Psalm 95, 1 through 5. And it's on the screen, and you can look at it there. You can certainly look it up in your Bibles. But I want you to think about this. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Why? For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. And I hope that you all can hear that that's, for me, a real thought of children, because you know the Father. Now here we see him in this particular part as the Creator, but it's like, can we cling to this passage and many, many others to be able to embrace something that can touch us deeply? We go next to Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. And I'll never forget when I first encountered this verse, which was, I was in somebody's office and I struck up a conversation with the man's secretary. And I ended up sharing some kind of struggle. This was when I was in my very early 20s. Shared some kind of struggles with her. And she goes, sounds to me like you need to rely on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I was like, what's that? She goes, you don't know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? I do today. But I've included verse 8 as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh. And I'm sorry, I cannot read the end of that. But okay. So, you know, we look at that, and it's like, wow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm like, okay, I can do that if I know the Father. And he says, children, you know the Father. Children, you've overcome the evil one. It's like, yes. Be strong, okay, not in my flesh, but in this knowledge. And then the reality is, I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I have to rest in the fact that he is the God who brings forth all understanding for us. So we build on that. Again, there's multiple verses that we could use for this. And then one of my favorite passages here. Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. That's pretty intimate if we stop to really allow to think about Our sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. And we're grateful for that. But then how we want to be able to come to him, and you all talked about this approachability and how we could enter into that and how we can experience that and the beauty of that. And that's why I focus on this. And, you know, I just have such a strong feeling in my heart and life about there's such a difference between just rest and rest for your souls. And, you know, I can, I've only met Dave today, but just can trust as I have read a little bit about him that you would agree with me on this, brother, that, you know, as a counselor, we don't just try to fix somebody, but we try to help move them towards that deep rest of the soul. Not looking at here just at what's on the surface, but trying to get down to what's going on down below to really be able to experience a true level of rest. Might even use the word freedom.
Might even use the word
freedom, yeah. And so, you know, and then the beauty of what does it look like for us to live this out? And then, to be honest, I had three or four different verses. There's a lot of you in this room that I know, this is a core verse to you that goes way back. So Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I just have such a sense that to me, almost I could say, all four of the points that John tried to make or was articulating are contained in this verse, these two verses here, or this verse, excuse me. Because it takes into the reality of, you know, my sins have been forgiven. It helps me to know the Father. It helps me to know that I've overcome the evil one. It helps me to know I can be strong. And it gives me a purpose for today because I go out and live the freedom and the grace and the mercy and the joy that comes from really deeply knowing this verse. Not just the simplicity of being able to quote it, but being embracing it to its fullest. And so, again, I'm sad that that doesn't show up. Would you all do me a favor and just look at the screen for a little bit? And then I want you to ask yourself a question. Who's saying this? I'll be honest with you, when I wrote it, it was out of my deep love for every one of you in this room. But to be honest with you, as I continued to reflect on the lesson, I thought this is what the Lord God himself was speaking to you. And I could have easily taken the roster and put your names in it. But instead of doing that, what I'd like to close with is this. If you'll take your hand out, and I'd like for us to read through our passage again. And I'm going to ask us to read it out loud. But I'm going to ask you that every time it says little children, fathers, young men, children, fathers, young men, I'd like you to put your name in there. So if you'll join with me. I'm writing to you, Pat, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, Pat, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, Pat, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, Pat, because you know the Father. I write to you, Pat, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, Pat, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Lord, may we embrace this to its absolute fullest. May we take these very profound thoughts and may we turn them into the most practical thoughts. May they truly impact every single relationship we have. But Lord, first and foremost, may they truly impact our relationship with you. Thank you that you do love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.